The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
If you'll turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Give me a hearty amen.
Amen.
Wow. Man. You know, I don't know what I was thinking when I should just, as we go through the Bible, and by the way, for you guests, that's what we do here at Calvary. We you know, get into our Word. We teach the whole counsel of God. As Paul told the elders there at Miletus, he says, I have not failed to teach the whole counsel of God. And that's what we do here. And on Sunday mornings, we do the New Testament. So we go right through the New Testament, scripture by scripture, book by book. I don't know what I said. I should have bypassed 1 Corinthians because there's so much controversy in 1 Corinthians. That is, by commentaries. That is, by the church. But by God, there's no controversy. There's guidelines. There's things that he specifically puts down. And one of the things that God told Paul to do is to write, don't be ignorant about, and do you know the five things in the Word in our New Testament that he says, don't be ignorant about? Guess what? The church, well, we're ignorant about it. We fight about it. End time. Who's the devil? The part about Israel. What does Israel, what is their whole gig in all this? And one of them then is spiritual giftings. The spirituals, as we call them. Even the operational gifts in Romans 12 that we look at, those operational gifts, you guys know those. I love those operational gifts. You have to have those operational gifts in a church or we couldn't operate. They're like helps, serving, hospitality. If we didn't have those, we wouldn't have a home fellowship. And so first and foremost, I believe with all my heart that we need to get those operational gifts. And we're helping one another. This whole gifting, guys, is for the edification of one another and for the glorification of Jesus Christ. Those two things. For ministry, for servant, to love one another, to be able to edify one another. That's what it's all about. And if it gets into, it's all about me, chuck it, because it's not all about you. And when it is all about you, it's you, the Spirit of God that lives in you, and the Father in your closet at home or out on the outer 40 on a boat, whatever, alone. And so this whole thing with 14, you know, you teach that and you go, it's all about, you know, tongues and prophecies and different things of that sort. And Paul specifically gives guidelines from God on how to use this stuff and how not to use this stuff and what it really means. And not you don't have to be afraid of it. And you don't have to run from it. And different churches have different flares. I want you to know that. Calvary Chapels, even. There's different churches in Calvary Chapel movement, like 2,000 of them, and some of us are a little more charismatic. Why is that? I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe there are some ex-Pentecostals that join that church more than maybe some others. I don't know. Only God knows about that. There's some Calvaries that aren't as charismatic, aren't as Pentecostal, if you will. They are more into evangelical. And so you have to be open-minded and forget about what everyone outside Calvary's, I guess, and outside the Word of God has spoken and their doctrine of the Holy Spirit. See, you have church doctrine, then you have biblical doctrine, right? And many times church doctrine will go, oh, no, those aren't good. Those, we should just ignore those. And some will take those and they'll run through houses and they'll run over people and they'll, you know, they're completely use them out of control. And so today, and within the next couple weeks, we're going to take this kind of slow, and we're going to teach, we're going to learn, we're going to study. The first five, this is why people don't teach this accurately. It's nothing to be scared of and afraid of. We'll begin with desiring the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, part one. Now, before we get started with chapter 14, verse 1, I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 14. We're going to read some of Jesus' comments on the Holy Spirit, on this helper. Jesus built this earth. 33 years, he's taken disciples, he's taken, you know, these guys, and he hung out with them, and he went through 3.5 years of ministry with them, and finally, you know, he's going to accomplish his secret ambition, by the way, that was to build that bridge back from humanity to God by giving of his life. You know, set things right. And so before he does, though, he wants to take those 12 and bring them to himself and many others, and he's going to speak and talk for the really first time in depth about the Holy Spirit. Because, by the way, when he leaves, the Holy Spirit is going to come and be the helper. And so let's look at some of these scriptures before we even get started. Jesus promises another helper. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. Wow. Circle that, because that's what our Holy Spirit is, the Spirit of truth. Have you ever, you're a Christian and you're talking to some guy and he's telling you that in actuality that Jesus was just an angel. He was a brother to Satan. And your spirit's going, uh-uh. Don't think so. Because you've read the Word of God and your spirit is telling you, wait a minute, that's not truth. And so he is the Spirit of truth, number one. You rely on him as you read the Word of God to tell you the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. We spoke about that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's kind of cool, isn't it? He's going to bring us the Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth. They're going to leave us like orphans. The Spirit of truth will be in us and be deciphering all this stuff that we hear and see, and also will be speaking to us and being able to tutor us in the Word of God. In the Word of God. Amen. I have I know a person who's a lawyer, and he did not know Christ, and he didn't want to know Christ, but he read the Bible. He didn't get it. Guy's a lawyer, and he didn't get it. You know why? He didn't have the Spirit of God in him, the Spirit of truth. Number two, the gift of his peace, 25 of the same chapter, 14 of John. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things. I love that. Have you ever been on a street corner or you're talking to your mother or you're talking to anyone and you got this scripture in your mind? And so you go, Lord, can you give me? And all of a sudden, boom, it pops in your mind. Now, you might not be specific about what it says or the address, but you know that the word says this or that, and you just, boom, it does. And so that's the Holy Spirit. He's teaching. He brings you to remembrance. And it says that he will then teach, you know, and bring all this remembrance of the Word of God back to you. And so the Word of God is Jesus. He is the Word of God. He's a living God. He's a written God. And so, again, we're going to read something here that will tell you, again, the Holy Spirit is pointing to and helping with Jesus, the Word of God. Okay, so we know that. And it's, you know, that Christ is speaking to us. Now, here's something really cool. And turn your page. I don't know if, I think you turn your page. It's mine page is 1398, okay? But we go to 15, chapter 15, the coming rejection. And we'll start with 26. But when the Helper comes, Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Circle that. And you also will bear witness because you hear, because you have been with me from the beginning. Notice that the Holy Spirit doesn't testify of himself. He testifies of who? Jesus, the Christ. That's who he testifies of. Wow, that's pretty interesting. That's really interesting, isn't it? Okay, then now let's go to 16, and we'll start there in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is of your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. The Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. There's another one. The Holy Spirit convicts. Folks, we don't convict. We just give the word. We just, you know, love people, give the word. The Holy Spirit convicts. So if you've got a mother-in-law that just won't receive Christ, don't beat her up. Don't tell your wife or your husband that, you know, just, no. What you do is pray for her. Pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It will work. That he has come into the world to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to the Father. Now, let's do one more. Drop down to verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, amen, has come, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own authority. Folks, you know what that means in the original? Don't worship him. He's a helper. Worship Jesus. He's a helper to point you to Christ. He's a helper to give you those words of affirmation, the understanding of God's word. He doesn't want to be the big shot. He doesn't want to be worshiped for the whole Sunday service. He wants to be able to point to God, Christ. He wants to for you to know Christ. That's his whole thing. And of course, convict. He also comforts. I read this. Let me continue. And he says, so not of his own authority, but whatever he hears, here we go, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. Let's say that together. He will glorify me. Right now. Who's me? Thank you. We're really getting good, aren't we? And it says, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. I love that. He will take this word of God and he will declare it to us. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I, the Father, has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. He will take of him, Jesus Christ, and declare it to us. And this is what he's talking about right here. And, of course, he also talks about, you know, decision-making and asking the Lord, you know, different things of, Lord, what should I do here? And the Holy Spirit, through his word, then will direct your path. So we get that, right? Okay, I got a question, and I'm not jumping down our Pentecostal brothers loving to pieces, but I have been in services where the pastor will actually come out and go, you know what? We're gonna set the word of God aside for a second. We're just going to roll up in the Holy Ghost up in here. Is that biblical? What do you think the Holy Spirit's doing? Grieving. Wait a minute. No, it's not about me. I don't want to glorify me. It's all about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Well, then what are these manifestations? They're giftings. The Holy Spirit is a gift giver. And as we now go through 14, we will accurately look and see what tongues mean, what it means for prophesy, and how to use those, and how not to use those, and when to use those, and why we use those. So I hope this introduction kind of puts a cap on what we're doing here. we're going through the Bible. We're not denying the Holy Spirit. You know, and here's another thing. I just want to tell you, I was laughing about this the other day. I said, Lord, why when we go, we're not denying the Holy Spirit? People are like, okay, I'm okay with that. If you're probably not a Pentecostal. When you're a Pentecostal, you might go, that's kind of weak. But if I go, we're not denying the Holy Ghost, then the ones that are not Pentecostal, ooh, just that word, ghost versus spirit, means the same thing, folks. So let's just be really knowledgeable about this and ask God for wisdom. Now, if you could all stand, chapter 14, verse 1, let's read it together. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in his spirit he speaks mysteries, circle mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the whole church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more than you prophesy. But more than that, that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Unless, of course, indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. After gazing in the peaceful pastures of chapter 13, the love, agape slape chapter. Didn't you love that chapter? It was awesome. No one had any controversy. No emails to Pastor Ben. Everybody was digging it. Well, after we got out of that, Pastor, we come to the potentially thorny territory in chapter 14, wherein Paul picks up this discussion of the manifestations of the Spirit. Now, in verse 1, notwithstanding the fact that they were abusing the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, that is, the Corinthians, badly. They were all over the map. Notice with me, Paul doesn't tell the church in Corinth to dismiss the spirituals, nor does he tell them to deny them either, but he tells them to desire them, to desire them. For example, if after seeing a man who weighed 500 pounds lumber down the street, you decide to give up eating altogether, you wouldn't live very long, would you, if you completely quit eating? Yes, indeed, the man you saw may have eaten way too much for way too long. But the answer to abuse is not non-use, it's proper use. You check that out? Proper use. And that's the thing that's been missing. Either, you know, churches will have non-use, or they'll, oh man, they will take it and they will cut it to pieces and have not recognize any of the guidelines that the Holy Spirit himself told Paul when he wrote this epistle. So too, the church of Corinth had a heavyweight problem, for sure. Because you see, gang, they had abused the manifestations of the Spirit badly, horribly. And moreover, they had misunderstood the principles of the very Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit as well. But the answer was not to deny the work of the Spirit. The answer was to learn how to use the manifestations properly. And so Paul, he writes this epistle. He writes this chapter. You know, folks, let's be honest. Much of what we see today in the church is a reaction against those who have abused and misused horribly the gifts of the Spirit. I believe that with all my heart. No doubt many, many churches have done this. However, the answer to that, which is being abused, is not to forsake, no, but to properly understand knowledge, understand. This is what Paul presses for and presses in the chapter at hand. Why? I don't know why people come in this church or any church and think they're going to change it because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, excuse me, ghost. You know, it's just not, this is who we are. We teach it accurately. We don't deny it, but we teach it accurately. that we might not miss something God wants to give us. Okay, a gifting. So, in verse 1, Paul declares, after pursuing love, hey, you got to pursue love big time. After pursuing love, because it's not going to work if you don't pursue love. Have you ever seen anyone that has the giftings or whatever and they're walking around like a rooster? That's not love. Or they're shouting at you because the prophet needs to come. The prophet needs to come. You know, it's like, okay. But you have to have love first. Love comes first. And we talked about that in the love chapter. And then it says, desire spiritual manifestations, but especially that you might share the word of the heart of God with the congregation. Especially. Which means God's word. That's his heart. Amen? As long as it backed up his word, by his word, teaching, preaching, evangelism, just sharing the word of the Lord with one another, that is prophecy. It's telling the word forth. Forth telling the word. Prophecy. Teaching. Now notice with me this word desire. It really interested me, and so I went and did a word study on it. I went to the original desire. You know God's a gentleman? Do you know the Holy Spirit's a gentleman? He will not take you and make you speak in tongues. You know? He won't, you know, put you with people and go, okay, now, mama had a Honda. Say it real fast. You know, it's like, no, that's not it either. He won't throw you to the ground. He won't, you know, make you convulse or anything of those things. He won't make you do anything you don't want to do, even salvation, amen? You have a free will. And so I look at this and it's like, the whole context is if you're not desiring these gifts, it's okay. It's okay, it's not going to mess with your salvation. It's all right. You will if you continue to look into me and look into my heart. And which gifts? I don't know. God determines that. He knew exactly what gifts he wanted to give me concerning these. And so this desiring thing, it's like, it's not like, don't be looked down on because you don't have gifts like this. By the way, I believe that the operational gifts are much better to have than these. We'd like to have all the gifts. But this desiring is, you might not be desiring this morning. You might not be in your walk that God has given you the desire to go after these gifts. Maybe he's just giving you desire to walk. Maybe he's giving you desire not to do drugs or not to, you know, be a drunk or take care of your family or to love God, love him and love your family and love your, you catch my drift. You see, this desire thing here, I look into it, and it's like I see so many people. It's got all these manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I've actually had hanging out with people that before that they'll be talking like this, and the next thing you know, they're speaking in tongues. And you're like, huh, what happened to that? I just kind of lost that conversation. And their life does not add up to this desiring. They need to desire much more than this. This stuff, desiring, is something that you desire when you finally have surrendered to Jesus Christ and given your life to him wholly, every day. You can't desire these things when your life is all messed up and you're not doing the major things. You have to major on the major and minor on the minor, people. And I wish that Christians would understand that they wanted so desperately to speak in tongues and to have these spirituals in their life, and they should just pay support for their kids. You catch my drift here? And this desire, maybe you're not ready. But today, you're sitting here going, well, I really don't desire this stuff. I really desire to know more about the Word of God. Well, today you are. You're going to be taught accurately about tongues and prophecies. So this desire thing. I really love it that Paul put that in there. Desire these things. If you're not desiring them, maybe God wants you to do something else, like grow up. Paul tells us, I wish I could give you meat, but you're still sucking on milk.
Remember that? Yeah.
I'm still doing milk. If you're still doing milk, you're not desiring these. You shouldn't be desiring these. You should be desiring these because you're eating meat. Because those that have milk, their own milk, they're desiring these. They won't use them in the right context, and they'll abuse them, and they'll be prideful with them. But those who are on meat, that are mature Christians, that start to desire these, they will use them correctly. And why? To edify us. So that tells me, if you don't use them correctly, you're not going to edify us. You're going to bring us down. Verse 2 addresses tongues. Perhaps you've been in a church, small group service, small group setting, or someone stands up and gives an utterance in tongues. I've heard this many times. And every time I don't walk out because they're doing tongues, I walk out because of the interpretation. Followed by what is supposed to be an interpretation or a word to the congregation. Correction, or it could be an attaboy. Thus saith the Lord after a tongue. You children of little faith. That kind of a thing, okay? A word to the congregation. Well, Scripture is clear on this, crystal clear. So I don't believe for a second such an occurrence is a proper understanding of tongues and interpretation. Sadly, it happens all the time. However, Paul says a true interpretation of tongues will be to be addressed to men, not to men rather, but to God. Did you catch that in this word here? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Huh? So when someone stands up and starts speaking and saying the interpretation is to us, to men, it's biblically incorrect. You guys see that? Please tell me you see that. It's black and white. So it's inaccurate not to address to men, but to God. In other words, a true interpretation of tongues gives praise and adoration to the Father, and only to the Father, and only praise and adoration. It doesn't speak to the church at all. This gives the Father praise and adoration. In every single Calvary Chapel that I've been in, usually it was a pastor's conference, that there's been tongues, short tongue, and interpretation. It's always been praise to the Father. Praise Him, thank you, Jesus, for whatever. And then it's short and it's done. And then when Chuck Smith was refereeing, you always have a referee that says, no, out of bounds. You're out of bounds. We're not going to do that here. And so when that happens, and we'll see later that it happens once, maybe twice, and then we're done. Why is that? And we'll get to that later when he says not more than two. One, not more than two. It's because he knows we get carried away with our emotions and all that kind of stuff. And guess what? His word is much more important. Much more important. So, tongues gives praise and adoration to the Father, not a message to the congregation. I would challenge our Pentecostal brothers to go through the book of Acts, and you will see that speaking God's word or prophecy consists of words spoken to the congregation. Makes sense, right? However, while tongues and interpretations consist of only a praise to God every time in Acts. Habish? You got that? Okay. Before we look at verse 2, Romans 8, Paul would say there are times that the Spirit prays through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Romans 8:26. It should come up on the board. I've been there before. I imagine all of you have. Have you ever been in a place where you simply don't know how to pray? The words just won't come. It's either, and you just kind of groan, and you're just asking God to just kind of interpret it. And it, usually it's two things. Not always, but usually it's two things. Either when you're hurting really bad, amen? All of us have been there. And you just don't know what to say. Or, and I imagine only a few of us have been here, that we're so grateful. We just won the lottery. Just kidding. Or, you know, I don't know, maybe you just had twins. I don't know, Mom. I don't know if you're going to be loving that. But, you know, something that you're just so grateful. And words cannot express their gratefulness. You ever been there? I have a couple times. And you just don't know, and you're just praying, and you're just going like, wow, that's what that verse means. I had an opportunity to get a job up here, to move up here, 18, 19 years ago now. And I also had another job opportunity, which is really good, living in Boca Raton. Boca Raton, Aberdeen. You know, it's like, what? And so we start praying. And I didn't know. I was so perplexed. I put a feast before the Lord, you know. Okay, Lord, I'm going to go check this job out. And if I get the job offered to me, maybe, I don't know. And I just didn't know. And I remember just groaning and asking God, please, Lord, let me know, because I don't want to be taken. I don't want to go all the way up there and my family fall apart. And then I get fired in the first week because they said, oh, man, you're a loser. And all the other stuff, you know. I mean, it's a big decision. Amen? You're traveling 700 miles. Well, of course, Lord, your will be done, not mine. But I was perplexed. And those are times that you just, you really, you've already spoken the words. You just, now you're pleading with God. And those are times, sometimes you just come with this utterance in your closet at home, on the floor with your wife or whatever. And you're just asking. We're just asking. And so there's times that we just don't know how to pray. So what I do, oftentimes when I don't know how to pray, we just allow the Spirit to pray through us to the Heavenly Father. Not always, but sometimes with groanings, even sometimes, and sometimes in an unknown language. Why? Because the Spirit understands perfectly that which is a mystery to us. And as I let Him pray through me, I know I'm praying according to God's will. And that's somewhat, some people say it's not exact. I don't put much thought in this, but they say that's the tongues of angels they talk about. Even though we, you know, speak tongues of angels, I don't know. All I know is there are times in my life that I need to groan to God by myself. It's just the way it is, and it's between me and God only. So, in saying that, oftentimes we do that. Not always, but sometimes. Because the Spirit understands perfectly. And as I let Him pray through me, I know I'm praying according to God's will. I know that. Now, this is not a corporate thing. It's always personal, or and in original language, it's personal. It speaks of personal, one-on-one, in your prayer closet, or maybe at home, or like I said, out somewhere. Why? Because in that context of Romans 8:26, and in the original language of 8:26, indicates it's personal between you and God, one-on-one, mano-a-mano, not corporately. Can you imagine, folks, just think about this. God is such a, you know, he's very logical as well. Can you imagine the confusion, the out-of-orderness, if that's a word? How crazy it'd be if Romans 8:26 was allowed in the General Assembly this morning? Everyone's got problems. Everyone's got things that they really, you know, is on their heart. Look, marriages, kids, terrorists, financials, health. Can you? The whole place would be moaning. What kind of word would we get in? How could we study God's word? We'd just all be moaning and crying, and that would be weird. That's not good. That's not just even looking at it logically. God's had the General Assembly Sunday morning for His word to be put forth, and of course, worship to Him. And if that didn't take the cake, how about our elections? We'd all be confused and moaning, wouldn't we? Help us, God, help us. So that's supposed to be done one-on-one in your closet. Look, there's a couple times with my children, I'm going to be honest,
in the years that raising our kids and the knucklehead things they did, that I just cried out to God, of moaning, almost a nervous breakdown. And I would much rather curl up and yell, you know, scream out to God in utterances than have a nervous breakdown. Because then they feed you full of a bunch of junk and drugs, and then you walk around like a zombie, you know. But you just, I'd much rather do that every single day, because God then will come in, He will heal, He will build up, He will give compassion, He will love you, He will comfort you. So our life lesson to that would be, verse 3 tells us, always remember Scripture is very clear on this. The prayer language or the manifestation of tongues is God's word. That way, prophecy is directed toward people. Amen? Let me explain verse 3 concerning prophecy by simply saying, if someone stands up on Sunday evening, maybe a home group, maybe an afterglow, when that time is called to share, and he shares a word of prophecy, well, it should reference God's word. Number one, it should reference God's word. I go back to the pastor's conferences, and someone will get up and say, this word is for someone here. And then they would read it. Or the Lord's speaking to me and saying, there's someone here that, according to his word, see, you always stand by your prophecy or what you speak out by God's word. That's what you do. It's a word of prophecy. It has to be backed up by the word of God. Now, here we go. It'll either be for edification, exhortation, or comfort. Edification, through which the Lord builds us up. An exhortation, through which he gets us going. Or comfort, through which he wraps his loving arms around us. And every bit of that is right here. Amen? Amen. So when we have an afterglow, understand, if you stand up and start prophesying and saying, thus saith the Lord, 6 days from now, we're all going to be, you know, in the grave or whatever. You know, it's crazy. But no, I'll stop you. Tell you, please sit down. This is not prophecy. It has to come from the word of God. And, you know, because that's what prophecy is. Folks, that's the guidelines set by God. And if it doesn't fit in the context, it's to be forbid and rejected. Verse 4 talks us to us about edification. Romans 10:17 tells us, our faith is built up when we study God's word. Faith is built up through seasons of prayer. We know that too, don't we? Faith is also built up through worship and adoration. We also know that. In fact, though, do we know this? In Jude 20, and it should come on the board, and here in 1 Corinthians, which we were just talking about, there it is. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith by doing what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Again, personal, at home. Praying in the Spirit. And I don't know about you guys, but there's times that my faith is built up. There were times that we had 20 people in this church. I didn't know if we were going to continue. Look, when my wife would walk out on me, that's when I'd quit. And my kids. But here's the thing. I remember those days. I remember that I would be praying in the Spirit. And the Lord just brought my faith to another level. It just did. Build up in praying in the Spirit. Our faith is built up by praying in the Spirit. Ever feel torn down, worn down, caving in, according to Jude 20? And here, there's a weapon for that. There sure is. There's a weapon in an arsenal, a tool in the toolbox to pull out in such times as this. Pray in the Spirit. Utilize praying in the Spirit and watch your faith grow. Now, that's between you and God. And let me tell you, the first time you do that, I'm home. I'm like, okay, Lord, I want to pray in the Spirit. And I couldn't. And then, you know, okay, God, you know I'm desiring it. You know I'm not getting weird enough. I'm just me and you, Mom. And that happened for about a week. And then one night, I just kind of spoke. And when I spoke, I scared myself. And I went, whoa, what was that? And the Lord spoke to me and said, you're praying in the Spirit. It's my Spirit praying for you. You understand why, you know, you're so upset that the church is going to, you've done such a bad job that you only have 20 people in the churches. He goes, I increase, he says. Don't worry about it. If I want you out, you're out. If I want you in, you're in. Why worry about that? Why be concerned about that? Trust me. Okay, God. And that was the first time I did that, and it was just a short thing that I spoke, and I kind of spoke it, you know, without even speaking it, kind of in my head, and the God just spoke to me big time, and I had this peace, had this tremendous peace that came upon me. And do I do that all the time? Not much. I'm in the Word a lot. I'm staying in the Word. But there's some times that I get along with Him. And that's it. But that's my business. Okay? That's 101. And that's you guys' business. Don't let anybody tell you you're less spiritual because you don't do that. That's hogwash. It just is. I'm just teaching here what 14 tells us. So, utilize it if you wish. See your faith grow. Now, although praying in the Spirit builds up my faith, it has no impact on anyone else. Notice with me this edification part here we see in verse 4. Unless it is accompanied by interpretation. Prophecy, however, speaking forth the word of the Lord, the heart of the Lord, through words of edification, exhortation, or comfort, it has a much more powerful impact on others. You get that, right? It just does. Teaching through the Scriptures. And that's why Calvary's bring forth God's Word every Sunday and Wednesday, mornings and Wednesday nights, and then reserves from time to time the manifestations of the Spirit in whether it be afterglows or small group settings. We have to have a balance. Let me explain that. Here's what we do. So we have a Wednesday night service or you have a home group. And afterwards, and just about when you're closing, you tell people, okay, listen, we're going to have an afterglow. We're just going to see what the Spirit would do. We're going to use the manifestations of the Spirit and we're going to have words of wisdom, we're going to have prophecy, we're going to have tongues, whatever God would have us do in our individual giftings. And so, but if you're uncomfortable, you don't desire them, you're kind of uncomfortable with that, you know, maybe you have some children with you because kids don't understand that until they're taught and they're taught rightly, by the way. And so, you know, then we give people time to, if they would like to leave. And so then we start with worship music, so letting you know what goes on and afterglows. And then I'm the referee. I know exactly how to do this by God's word. And then I just open it up. Does anyone have a word from the Lord? And someone then might not be anything. Might go a whole night, nothing happens. That's okay too. Then the Lord isn't, you know, either you're disobedient, right, by not sharing, or the Lord doesn't have anything to say. And we will then open it up to see what the Lord would do. And then usually what happens when we have afterglows, someone will just say an encouraging word, be a prophecy that's backed up by God's word, or that I think that the Lord would want to share this. Words of knowledge would be, hey, you know, the Lord would have us to not get in debt. Words of knowledge, right? Amen? Words of wisdom, just speaking it out. There's no tongues of fire coming down. There's no rushing wind. It's just something that we naturally, supernaturally do. And sometimes, occasionally, there is a tongue with an interpretation. And we'll wait. I'll stop that tongue. I'll wait for interpretation. If there's not, then there's no more tongues. And we'll just move on. And then we'll have a little more worship. And that's it. And that's how we do things here at Calvary. And I think that's proper. I think that's at least given us the opportunity for those that do have these giftings that God has, that the Holy Spirit has gifted us with that we can utilize them and exercise them. Are they going to get out of control? No. Rule book right here. Amen? Amen. Okay, we're almost done here. In verse 5, Paul again explains, our last verse for today, the difference and the importance of the prioritizing God's word in prophecy versus tongues. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verses 29 and 30, Paul asks, are all apostles, are all prophets? You all speak with tongues? ? In the original language, the implied answer being no. Question then, why then would he ask here in verse 5, I want you all to speak in tongues? I mean, isn't that a valid question? Of course it is. The answer. In chapter 12, Paul's talking about public expression for us. It would be afterglows. It would be, you know, small group settings, maybe. Followed by interpretation. And in generally, only a few people will receive that gift to move in that particular expression. Not everyone's got tongues. Besides, who would want the tongue unless the God would actually give it to him? Because it says it's the least of the gifts. Yeah. But here in 14, according to the original language again, he's talking about the private devotional use of tongues, which is available to everyone. Everyone. That mono, that one-on-one, it's given to every single Christian that believes. This is not Pentecostals, but everyone that believes. You can get in your closet, you can speak to God, and if he allows, you know, the tongues to come, the unknown language to come, then that's fine. That's between you guys. But it's not to be used in general assembly or publicly. If you're a note taker, Jesus said one of the signs of those who believe is that they would speak with new tongues. Now, let me see. Did he say those who are Pentecostals? Those who have special giftings? No, it says those who believe, period. Is that we would speak with new tongues. Notice with me, he didn't say tongues were, again, a sign for those special people or even those who are baptized in the Spirit. Because after all, last week we understood what the baptism of the Spirit was. Amen? I think everybody in this room came up to receive it. For why? So you can speak in tongues? Of course not. So you have the power to live a Christian life and to be witnesses to people. Just be, you know, everything that God wants you to be and have the power to do that. One-on-one is our times that we speak with God. Tongues is a gift from God and is to be used at the right time, in the right setting, in the right place, in the right way, according to scriptural guidelines. I don't know why people feel like they just need to take it and run with it. You know? I just don't get that. Well, when the manifestations of tongues is followed by interpretation, all Christians can be built up through the praise and the praise and prayer that are offered. Everyone is edified. That's why if there's no interpretation, you shut it down. However, according to verse 9 and 23, which we will get to next week, public tongues are to be practiced in small groups or afterglows settings, not in the general assembly. More about that later. Let me just say this one, read this one verse in 23. Verse 23 says this. I got it underlined. If the whole church comes together in one place, general assembly in the original, you know, the Sunday worship, in one place, and all speaking in tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or non-believers, won't they think you're plumb crazy? Paraphrased by Pastor Ben. not for the General Assembly folks. You don't know who's believer here and who's not. If we just got up and started running around and speaking in tongues and all that, what do you think they'd do? They'd do the same thing I did 42 years ago. Be for boogied and then tell everybody, don't go to that place, they're crazy. You just don't do that. You don't stumble a non-believer. And so, with that, I'll end with this. But without prophecy, wow. Speaking God's word is infinitely more valuable to the congregation than anything. Anything. The worship, you know, just worshiping in. And we don't corral worship here. One time I had some people wanting to dance up and down the aisles during worship. I said, hey, you know, can you do that? If you do that, can you just go in the back of the church? Because you disturb other people up here at their worship time. You go, well, David jumped all around and worshiped God. I said, okay, I'll tell you what. Danced, you know, King David. I said, I'll tell you what, let's take it in context. Okay, you can dance around and worship God as long as you take your clothes off. Because David got naked. They looked at me and said, well, sit. Out of context. This worship, this looking for the word, uninhibited worship. Awesome. Worship from your heart, you're singing. I don't understand how people can't come and worship God and not sing. I just don't get that. God loves it. I don't care. We might not like it, okay? But God loves it. It's a sweet incense up into him. He goes, oh, yeah, Pastor Ben, you sound horrible, but man, it's such a good incense to me, you know, kind of a thing. He loves it when his kids worship. Look, when your kids worship you, if they're off key, do you tell them, hey, look, kid, don't worship me, you're off key? No. Bring it on. Bring it on. And that's exactly what God says. And so worship and then God's word, man, his word, that's what General Assemblies are for. And when a non-believer comes in and he gets that, and he goes, wow, man, I get that. That strikes a chord in my heart. These people got some love going on in here. I want that. And so God's word going forth, actually, revealing and explaining God's heart when it comes and involves the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know him more.